Holy One, take our minds and think through them. Take our mouths and speak to them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with your love for the world. Amen. I'm telling. These are the words that I hate to hear on Saturday mornings. If I hear these words, then I know that the cutest little plaintiff and the cutest little defendant are about to burst through my bedroom door to plead their case concerning whatever minor injustice has befallen them at that exact moment in their otherwise carefree and school-free morning of play. And of course, neither of them is willing to acknowledge that the real injustice that has been committed is the interruption of mommy and daddy's only one morning a week of being able to sleep in late. And by late, I mean past 7 o'clock. But then, to whom could we complain? Who could we tell? To be fair, at their advanced age of 7 and a half, a greater restraint and compassion about telling seems to be setting in. But oh, there is something about that childlike proclivity to want to tell. And most of us are conditioned from an early age to understand that telling is not a nice and polite thing to do. Nobody likes a tattletale. And good poker players spend a lifetime trying to lose their tell. But today's good news, today's resurrection account, is all about telling. And this gaggle of gospel rebel girls is having nothing to do with good manners. They have seen the empty tomb, and boom, welcome, happy morning, the strife is over, up from the grave, he arose, they are telling. And in their fear, and in their joy, and in their rapture, they go and tell not only a few, not only the 11, but, we are told, all the rest. So what's the big deal? Of course they told, right? I mean, we're here today celebrating Easter. Somebody had to tell, right? Well, it is kind of a big deal. Rewind with me a year and almost a month to last Easter, and Mark's account of the same event. In Mark's gospel, the writer states explicitly, they, the women, said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Luke's account that we read today is the gospel in which the women, named and unnamed, run straightway, post-haste, uninterrupted, and exuberantly, to tell the good news that they have experienced, not only to the few, but to the many. These earliest Christians to whom they go, down, depressed, dejected, no doubt, first learned of the resurrection due to the incarnated exhilaration of these women. It was a lived experience, that was told. And that is what we celebrate today. Not some archaeological evidence of excavated absence, not a festooned hole in the floor of some fancy Jerusalem basilica. What we celebrate is lived experience that is told. Lived experience that is told. That is what the resurrection of Jesus Christ is really about for Christians and for the world for that matter. We are the people called to incarnate resurrection and not fascinate ourselves with empty burial spaces, spaces which we were always told would never go long occupied. So where are you living resurrection in your life this year? That may be a hard question for you. I have shared with a few of you that I have not been looking forward to Holy Week this year. I have not been looking forward to Holy Week because I feel that we have had about a half dozen Holy Weeks already this year. Week after week of saying goodbye, of experiencing death, of arriving at an early Easter celebration, even before the tears in our eyes have had time to dry from the last one. And while we have all shared in the Good Fridays of the literal deaths of more than what seems to be our fair share of beloved sisters and brothers in Christ this year, there have been even more metaphorical goodbyes and deaths amongst us. Diagnoses, disappointment with children and family, loss of jobs, depressions, financial hardships, illnesses, death of pets, moves, all sorts of life and family transitions. And when we are in the midst of them, there may seem to be no dawn on the horizon of these dark nights. But just as it does every year on the liturgical calendar, Easter always comes around eventually after all the Good Fridays. And that is the pattern of the church. That is the pattern of the Christian life lived in community. And life lived in community is hard. It is sometimes painful, sometimes scary, sometimes overwhelming, but it is always holy. And despite all of its complications, it is better than doing it alone. And so what does incarnated resurrection look like? Well, it looks like you. Incarnated resurrection looks like you. It looks like you. It looks like you in all of your struggles. And it looks like you in all of your joy. The Easter that the world needs is the Easter that is in you. And this is true no matter where on the Holy Week spectrum you might be living right now. Whether you are in the sadness of the goodbye saying of Maundy Thursday, or the painful devastation of Good Friday, or walking in the real absence of Holy Saturday, or dancing in the joy of Easter. Through your faith in Jesus Christ, there is resurrection embedded in all of those experiences, even if we cannot find it there as we search alone. And thus, in the telling of where we are, we may find that a sister or a brother can help us remember that the trajectory of Jesus' story and the trajectory of our story in Jesus Christ never stops at the cross. Never stops at the cross, but moves through the cross to the place where we find these ecstatic women today. So during this Easter season, whether you are living Easter in your life already or not just yet, tell your story. Find someone and tell your story. Find many someones and tell your story. And then ask them to tell you theirs. And listen. You will hear beauty and pain, wholeness and brokenness. You will no doubt cry with both joy and sorrow as you do the telling. But it will all be holy. And it will lead us all deeper into becoming the Alleluia community we have all been becoming since the women first ran and told.